Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today is quite a feast, full of the men who had such faith in God back at the beginning of our church. Think of this, at the very beginning of Christianity. Take a look at this. This is the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul were two of Jesus' most powerful disciples who did what the Lord asked them to do. And Peter was just a poor fisherman. And both Peter and Paul were men who worked at simple things and yet understood the power of the gospel and began to preach it eloquently everywhere. We look at the reading now from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. In those days, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword, and when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was a feast of unleavened bread. He had him taken into custody and put in prison under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter thus was being kept in prison, but prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. On the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers. While outside the door, guards kept watch on the prison. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains fell from his wrists. The angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. And then he said to him, "Put on your cloak and follow me." So he followed him out, realizing that what was happening through the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. Most of the rest of us would too. They passed the first guard, then the second, and came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left them. Then Peter recovered his senses and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people had been expecting." Miraculous care. And yet, look at the disciples, the first disciples. Look at their trust in him. Even if they thought they were going to die, they trusted him, followed him, did what he asked of them, and he saved them. When Peter recovered his senses and said, "Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people had been expecting." Now, Psalm 34 tells us, "The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him." Fear means that you're willing to obey, to follow him, to do what he asks of you, even in the little things. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. "I will bless the Lord at all times," says Psalm 34. "His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. Those who trust in the Lord will be helped. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Bless the man who takes refuge in him. How important it is, how important that when we're in difficulty, especially all the time, really, but especially when we're in difficulty, to immediately turn to the Lord. Not what am I going to do? Who am I going to turn to? We need to ask ourselves those questions. But the first thing is to say, Lord, help me. Help me. And then take even 15 minutes if you can. Just sit down in a quiet spot if you can. And just say to the Lord, I want to follow you. Show me the way. Help me through this difficulty I'm facing right now. Help me, show me what to do. And I'm not saying to you that angels are going to come down from heaven, but you can get sometimes what you experience is wisdom or insight or a sense that this really isn't as important as I'm trying to make it out to be, or whatever the case may be. But there's something the Lord gives us that calms us, that quiets us, and then we can listen. We find out what we should do. Sometimes it's just through our thoughts, but keep saying, Lord, show me the way. Help me with this. I don't know what to do. Help me. It's fine to ask advice of someone, but don't go around asking everybody's advice because that doesn't work very well. But to someone you trust, it's fine to go to them, but go to the Lord first. Then to someone, and then to the Lord again, and ask the Lord what to do. You will receive help. He will help you. And then we have the reading from Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, and then 17 to 18. I, Paul, am already being poured out like a libation. The time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a wonderful passage to read when you've gotten an answer, when you found help, no matter to whom it came to you from, to reread Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8 and 17 to 18. I want to repeat them because you might want to jot them down. And now we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said in reply, you are the Christ. Remember, he's saying this in the presence of other disciples. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him in return, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock, that is Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but it took a lot of courage in those days for them to stand by Jesus, to say who Jesus was, to walk with him. A lot of people came to see what he said, but he had his 12 disciples now who were willing to follow him, whatever it cost. Brothers and sisters, that's where we are now. We need. Many people leaving the church, many people going out on their own. We need to be people who stand firm in the presence of the Lord. We need to pray. We need to ask his help, his courage, his wisdom, his counsel. Ask him for those things. Lord, I don't know what to do here. Will you help me? And then take it to a priest or some other friend that's close to you and say, does this sound right? Am I hearing this right? Always test it out. But brothers and sisters, don't give in to discouragement or depression or even despair. Don't do that. Just say, Lord, I am your loyal servant, and I will follow you wherever you go. Come on, join me. I will too. We will follow the Lord, and he will lead us where he wants us to go. And that is right into his everlasting arms one day. I don't know about you, but as a child I used to think, what's it going to be like in heaven? What's it going to be like? And I'd come up with all these ideas. And as I got older, I thought, I really can't imagine what heaven will be like. I don't have the power to imagine it. But I know that I want to be there. And I want all of you who listen to me to be there. I want us to be able to be together before the living God, to know joy and everlasting peace and everlasting happiness. Brothers and sisters, draw nearer and nearer to him. Read part of his word every day, just a part, even a few verses. Take one book like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just read a little bit every day and reflect on it and say, how could I be more like that? Or, Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. I need your wisdom. Help me. Just pray that way every day. And I believe that God will answer your prayer. If your prayer is sincere, you desire it, it may take time. Might even be a year. Don't stop praying. God loves you. Brothers and sisters, I wish I could see all of your faces, but one day I will. And we want to be together before the face of God. If you've been away from the church, please come back. Please come back. And let us together seek the way of the Lord and follow him more closely than we ever have before. And you know that God's word is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It can change our lives. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.